الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's honorable messenger to mankind. Honorable ulama-i kiram, my respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, and the students of Deen, the topic that we have for discussion today is modern Islam as opposed to true Islam. So for us, there's only one thing: true Islam. And as long as we stick steadfast to true Islam, we will never ever deviate. This talk is not directed to the ulama. It's just like we're making a revision of our lessons that we have learned from our mashayikh, from our asatiza. We got to understand the very, very basics and the foundation. And if we base everything on this here, inshallah, we will never ever go astray. Because the Quran, kalamullah, and the Sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take that into account, you can never ever be lost. So let us look at this foundation in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna azdaqal hadith kitabullah." The most true, perfect, complete kitab, book, code of judgment, you know, constitution, whatever you want to call it, it is the noble Quran, Kalam Kitabullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Quran Majid as Kitab also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitabun unzila ilayka litukhrijan nas, Kitabun unzila litukhrijan nas minaz zulumati ilan nur. A book that was revealed on you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take out mankind from darkness into light. So that's the first thing, Kitabullah. Then, وَأَحْسَنَ الْهَدْيَ هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The best seerat, the best methodology, the best way is the way of our beloved Rasul صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So these two are the bunyads of khair and goodness for this particular ummah. So the Quran Majid is khair, and our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khairul bashar, is also khair. And then, if you go a little bit further on that, then you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of that Mubarak zamana with the Sahaba ikram, is also a zamana of khair. Khairul quruni qarni, summa alladhina yalunahum, summa alladhina yalunahum. So that was the best epoch and era that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted. And according to the Mubarak hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'll quote, To save ourselves from all these fitness of modernism and all the other isms, we just got to cling to this here. Very, very plain and very, very simple. So you got Khair al-Qurun. Then you got Kuntum Khaira Ummah. You are the best of Ummah. You don't have to find solace in comparative religion with others, Abrahamic accords and all those type of things. You got that pristine purity of your deen, O mu'min. Inna deena inda Allahi Islam. So you stick by that. So now, the tabaqa of the sahaba were also referred to as khairul qurun. And this ummah is also kuntum khaira ummah. And regarding that tabaqa of the sahaba ikram, which many people want to reject nowadays, the sahaba ikram or the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Majid openly declares, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَهُمْ بِحِسَانِ, you know, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ, you know, the muhajirin and the ansar, came sabiqoon in the past, in that particular time. You're speaking about those people who follow them. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. Imagine, I'm not saying it, no, Alim is saying it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوًا, that Allah is pleased with them. So now, if you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated Abu Dawud Sharif by Abi Najih al-Iryab, the son of Sa'riyah, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمْ, he says, that wa'azana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maw'izatan wajilat minha al-qulub wa darafat minha al-uyun. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a wa'az, a talk. And it was such a talk, wajilat minha al-qulub, our hearts were trembling. Innama al-mu'min idha dhukira Allah wajilat qulubuhum. You know, your heart quakes and quivers when you hear Allah's name just like that. And he said that the tears were flowing. So then, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ka'annaha maw'izatu mawadjin. We thought like it's your farewell and your last maw'izah that you are giving. Fa'awsina, so now give us some wasiyat, give us some guidelines, give us some directives, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqal, usikum bi taqwa Allah. I make wasiyat of the taqwa of Allah. So in passing any judgment, in going in any direction, any ism, you must first think of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guidelines. وَالسَّمْعَ وَالطَّاعَةَ وَإِنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ. Even if a servant is ruling over you, then you must be obedient to him and listen to him. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعْشَ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَوْنَ الْإِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Those of you who live longer, and speaking of the close time, I mean, we are 1400 and somewhat years away. فَسَيَرَوْنَ إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. You will see lots of ikhtilaf, disputes, contradictions, and all those things you're going to see. Now the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ. It is incumbent upon you to hold steadfast onto my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. And the sunnah of the Khulafa'i Rashidi. This is our guideline now. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Grip on it with your molars. In other words, keep steadfastly. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُهْدَثَاتِ. And be careful of newly invented things. That's modernism. Rasulullah is telling us over 1400 newly invented things. Nay, nay, bate, not in Quran and Hadith. Then be careful of that. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُفْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. Every bid'ah and innovation, something new in deen, is misguidance. This was narrated by Abu Dawud. Now, I remember once I gave a talk, and there was some modernist sitting. There was an organization that came, a youth movement, in those particular days. So it was a nikah, so I had to give a talk, so I just said, you know, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam ad-diniya. Your deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I made it complete for you. I've chosen for you, I'm giving you my favor, chosen for you, Islam is your deen. Everybody knows that ayat of the Noble Quran. So I just mentioned, I said that when something is kamil and complete, you can't make it more complete. It's kamil. It's complete. But now there are people who feel that, you know what? There isn't enough in deen. Let's add something, you know, rusumat, bid'at, and all those things. So, additions, alterations, and deletions, you know. So now, then the other modernists, they came along the scene and they say, you know what, Islam is too strict. We need to water down Islam. We need to make it presentable to the non-Muslims in that. That's all I said. And I spoke about the mazmoon of nikah in that. After that bayan, you know, this one of my friends, his family members are getting married. Now they belong to the movement, you know, youth, shabab. And so they put me against the wall, you know. And said, who are you referring to us? You're referring to us. Actually, I quoted the Quran Sharif ayat. If the cap fits, then you wear it. You know, and they were just trying to hammer me from all sides. So I said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum khalas. We don't want nothing there. We don't want no deletions, no alterations, nothing. Nothing can come in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid the guidelines very, very simple for us. Now, new ideologies creep into every zaman. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, there was an ideology, a tribe who didn't want to pay zakat. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a staunch person like him, he said, he must take his level next. He says, when the fundamentals of Islam are being trampled upon, ayunqasud deen wa ana hayy, must deen be destroyed when I am alive? I will never ever allow it, even if just a piece of rope, you know, with which you lead a camel, if people refuse to give that amount in zakat, you know, contrary to the laws of Sharia, I will wage jihad against them. So there was a new ideology that was creeping out at that time. And he went on headlong willing to make jihad and said, I don't worry about the consequences. The fundamentals of Islam must never ever be violated. First example we get. So like that, over the period of time, fundamentals and other issues are being violated. We can't sit back as ulama-i haq. Then you find that the various, the khilafahs of the Ottoman Empire, the Abbasids, it's a long subject, but I just try and cut it down as short as possible. You had the Abbasid period, you had the Umayyad period, and then you had the Khilafate Uthmaniya. And then you had the Mughal Empire, etc. Right? So then, in the time of the Mughal Empire, there was a person that was born. He was loved and he ruled. His name was Akbar. And many of the ulama will know of Akbar's Dine Ilahi. So I went to go and visit, you know, see the highlights in India and as of the Mughal Empire, what they left behind, the Red Fort and all those places, the Taj Mahal and all that. So then I saw the mausoleum of Akbar. Even the Hindus come there and they throw flowers. Now, we don't know much, so I took a guide along with me. They know more. So he tells me, you see this mausoleum, if you look embedded in the columns, there are crosses, crucifix. And if you look, Allah said, Banaya is telling me, ke upar kuch wo gumbad jo hai of the mandir, wo bhi lage hue, the gumbads of the mandir. And then masjid ke minare ke kuch hisse, wo bhi lage hue hai. So he believed in this ittihad-e-adiyan, a universal religion. So now they're coming out of the Ibrahimic faith, Akbar was already there. So then came after Akbar Aurangzeb, Rahmatullah Ali, so Fatawai Alamgiri. In his zamana was the father of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah Ali. He was stalwart. And Alhamdulillah, they got rid of the very concept of Dine Ilahi. When one of the other Mughal emperors also wanted to, Aurangzeb had him killed. He said, it will never ever happen. Dine Ilahi, we can never ever entertain it. Because there's only one Dine Ilahi. Look in the Quran, it's only Dine Islam. There's no scope for anything else. So you find that these modernist ideologies crept in some way or the other in times that had passed. Now we've got to see the influence. When these empires, like the Ottoman Empire, the Khilafate Uthmaniya, when it came to its decline in its end, and that was with the help of the Saudis, you know, the Ahl-e Saud, who entertained them and brought them with the help of the British, and they took over the noble lands, they sold out Palestine, and they crushed and crumbled the Khilafat of the Khilafate Uthmaniya. Then they colonized all the countries in the world. The Dutch, the French, the English, the Portuguese, the Germans. You know, you look all around. Mozambique, you know, If I go into the detail, you find all these countries. The longest that they ever ruled the Dutch over people of Indonesia for 300 years. Muslim rule was so long, over 700 years, everything just came crashing down. Now when the Europeans came, they came into the Indo-Pak subcontinent. And when they came into the Indo-Pak subcontinent, they had a mission. And their mission was to destroy Islam. So they made a statement, you know, Hazrat Tanwir Rahmatullah Alayhi said that, they said that we will leave these people looking like Hindustanis, but in their ways and their habits we'll make them European, we'll make them British. Shakal or Surat may, we'll leave them, look like Indians, but we'll make them. So that is the aim of modernism, make you into something else. And so what happened is, their main aim was to destroy Islam and put the British, you know, their mandate, their constitution and everything forward. Then in 1867, Allahu Akbar Kabira, Alhamdulillah Kathira, we are sitting here, thousands of miles away from that institution, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, imbibed in the hearts of these great personalities, Darul Uloom Deoband was born. What had an educational institution to do, you would say, with the aim of the British? That propaganda of theirs, that movement of theirs, can only eradicate it with ilm and knowledge. Iqra bismi rabbik. You know? Khayrukum. You people are the best. Man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allama. And to set the foundations under a tree. Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Mahmudul Hassan Sab, rahmatullahi alayhi, was the first student. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullahi alayhi, the great luminary, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangwin, they started all this. But the British didn't know the impact of it at that particular time. That from there till today, it is these ulama'i Deoband who kept the flag of Islam lofty and high. Once Madrasa Zakaria called some professors or somebody from the Arab countries, you know. I heard, I didn't see. So when they came to the airport, they got their suit and ties. They said, no, you know what, it's not an impression for our students. So they changed into their long kurtas. I had the opportunity of taking them from Benoni to Roshni. There were five of them. So one was sitting in front of me, he tells me, well, now we see, you know, you ulama of the Indo-Pak subcontinent, Shiaism, we never stood up against it. Qadianism, we never stood up against it. Baha'iism, we never stood up against it. You speak of, the only thing he never said, Salafiism, you know what I mean. But otherwise, everything else. We did nothing. What did they do? Our ulama gave their lives, man. They fought the British Empire and they expelled them from the Indo-Pak subcontinent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that foresight. Right? And the barakat, Mawlana Zulfikar Sahib, Naqshbandi Damar Barakatum Lali, he says that you can, I travel to so many countries in the world. Jahan bemi gaya. Even he says, you know, jahan suraj nikalta hai, or suraj dalta hai, you know, at one time he rises and says, he says, I saw the effects of the ulama of the Deoband. Go to Canada, go to Australia, look at South Africa. I was in Burundi. In fact, I'm going there tonight also. Mawlana Khalil Kaf came there. He established over 700 madrasas. But what is it? The product of Darul Uloom Deoband. That even in Central Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, the Merkels and everything there, and you look at Burundi and all these areas here, Alhamdulillah, they remain steadfast. And the barakat of that effort at that particular time is flowing. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it flowing with the progeny of those great fathers who come out from these great and magnificent institutions. Alhamdulillah. So anyway, these British agents, they came out with secularism. The Mufti Sam now spoke about capitalism. You know, that they say, your religion, you do what you like. Don't interfere with the state. So they separated politics from religion. Hazrat Mawlana Masyula Rahmatullahi, he mentioned, he says that, wo deen kya deen hai jisme siyasat nahi. What is that deen, that religion which has got no politics? And what is that politics which does not fall under the ambit of deen? وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Noble Quran. So it goes hand in hand. The Khulafa'i Rashideen, the political landscape, the control and everything, it was there. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to go into wars, into battles, Department of Military, reconnaissance, everything. And he himself was in the battlefront, tied stones to his belly and everything, left examples for this ummah of dedication and sacrifice. So then when these British came in, they said, how do we get rid of these ulama of Dioban? So they created two sects at the time, the Qadianis. Then we know he came down as another new messenger. And our ulama took him headlong. Even on the shores of Africa, on the southernmost tip of Africa, I just came back from India. And alhamdulillah, the Jamiatul Ulama, representing the Muslims of the country, fought this case. You know, they're not allowed to come into our masjids because they're out of the pale of Islam. The Qadianis. So we fought that menace. Then they came and they even took the Barelvis. And both these groups together said, abrogation of jihad. No jihad against the British. So you know what? You curry favor with the government. You come into their good books and you get funded also, you see, in the process. These were the... So Murana Allama Khalid Mahmood have spoken about these two movements. You know, how when Sheikhul Hind Murana Mahmood al-Hassan went, then these Barelvis had informed the Sharif of Makkah at that particular time, who were instrumental in getting rid of the Ottomans, the Khilafat Uthmaniyah, and then they had him arrested and he was sent to the prisons of Malta. He was one of the Asir of Malta, the prisons of Malta. So these were the realities that these people were influential in that. So now he came in, they brought a new brand of Islam. You know, graves, dead, talking and everything. So they wanted to create, and still today they speak on the members mostly against the ulama Dioban. So what happens? To try and break up the strength and the will of the ulama Dioban. Then, in this part of the century, last century, you look at it, Karl Marx was born. So they created Marxism. He was also a Yahud and a Jew. And so what happened is Karl Marx, the whole of Central Asia, today is Bukhari Sharif Khatam, the lands of Bukhara, Tashkent, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, all these lands came into communist oppression. And they couldn't even take the name of Allah, they couldn't even keep a page of the Noble Quran, they would be killed. So they used Marxism and socialism and communism to try and destroy the very fabric of Islam in the Balkans and even in the whole of Central Asia. But alhamdulillah, in spite of all that, today the Muslims are still alive. Islam is a religion that you cannot destroy and kill. And then, as you go on, you find that they used political leaders, right, to influence modernism. And I'll give you examples quickly, you know, inshallah, time permitting. And then they also used the universities. You know, those days gone by, you know what I mean, it was different. Now, universities. And I'll tell you why our ulama ikram Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab and then speak out against this year. You'll know what it is. And they use various organizations, whether it be Islamic organizations, or the World Health Organization, or the United Nations organizations, they use them as well. And they even use individuals, buy out individuals, you know, this was the Alim, this one, like they have bought out Modudi, or like they bought out Qadiani, or the Barelvi, how they buy out individuals. So they buy out these individuals. So Karl Marx, he made a statement, religion is the opium of the masses. And this is what taught today in universities also. And then I heard from a Pakistani professor. He says all the universities in Pakistan, Lums and all of them, Karachi and everywhere, when they're teaching, they teach the philosophy of Sigmund Freud or something like that. His name is Sigmund Freud. And what he says, religion is universal obsessional neurosis. What is translated? Ishtimai Pagalpan. Mad people, you know what I mean. Now the very students, our ulama-i kiram, our akabir ulama-i kiram, tell us, if your deen is not firm, and you go to these institutions, they're becoming atheists, they're becoming this here, because this people like this students, Marx and all these people are having an impact on them. So now you're finding Muslim atheists, Mufti Abdullah Mullah is talking, Muslim atheists. Now, how can you be tall and short at the same time? Now, how can you be fat and thin at the same time? How can you be Muslim? I submit to the will of Allah, and liberal, I submit to my liberties as well. It can never ever be. There's one, I am a Muslim. I enter into my deen completely and fully. There is no compromise. So now they created all these different isms. And so modernism came onto the scene. Atheism came there. And so you find all these evil aspects. Now, in our latest recent centuries, you spoke about two, speaking about leaders. Kemal Atatürk. Right. You remember, I heard his name. He called him the father of Turkey. How do you plan it? They send a garrison, a British garrison, to attack the Muslims. So they defeat the Muslims. They send a bigger garrison army to attack the Muslims. All planned. This young Turk comes in the front, he defends Turkey. You know, it's the so-called Ottoman Empire. And he catches British out there. News spreads in a tabloid. A young Turk is born who has defeated the British. Before the ulama could realize it, Turkey was gone. So how they used it and how they manipulated and worked it. So they brought Kemal Atatürk in. Azan in Turkish, no teaching, only once a week and everything. And the modern Turkey that you go to today, I mean, they asked me about Turkey, I was there last week, we went to Syria. I said, if you don't see the masjid minaras and the domes and the blue mosque and Hagia Sophia and all those areas and all that, and the big masjid and everything, you look at the boulevards and the cafes, ordinary cafes like you get, you know what I mean, these spaza shops, they're selling liquor and everything there in Turkey. And before it was even worse, now Erdogan is still a little bit better. But liberal, you will see, just look at, these are all Europeans, and our brothers. But in the rural areas where ilm and Sufism, tasawwuf were strong, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, they still stuck steadfast in everything. Tasawwuf and ilm go hand in hand. And that is what we need to focus on. And that is what they want to get us away from. Ilm and get us away from tasawwuf. So they got the Salafis also to run down Sufism completely. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, what he said? He said, ye to najdi hai, wajdi nahi. You know, they are Najdi. They got no feeling in anything within themselves. So he summarized it so briefly. So they created all these individuals like Atatürk. So what Atatürk changed the whole face of Turkey. And then now if you look at MBS, like Mufti Abdul Qadir, you can't even call him Muhammad, you feel ashamed. Nothing to do with Hadith. Modernization of Saudi Arabia, which was originally Hijaz, the only country in the world that is named after a family, with such speed, modernism, that you cannot believe it. Now he even goes to the extent of building the Mukab, and he calls it the Murabba. In it, when you do artificial intelligence, you sway in the world, and you go into the world, you know what I mean, of your mind, and imagination, artificial intelligence, and all that. Raves at the time when Umrah was closed. Cinemas and parties and calling all the top dancers of the world and flashy lights and everything in the cities that are so noble to us. And the evil is crafting all this. Now you give the youngsters, you know, free azadi, liberalism. You are at liberty to do what you want to. Then the youngsters, they enjoy it. They want it. So the youngster said, this is our man. The woman folk also, no pardon, nothing. Now he transformed it so over. So they used him. He studied in the Western universities. And he came back with that ideology. And now he's creating neomes. Something that you can never ever think about. He's going headlong to destroy the very, very fabric of Islam. So they use individuals as well. And they even use ulama. They buy out the ulama. And they make the ulama also. Created modern concepts and ideologies. And then the United Nations General Assembly, with its all organizations and that, they're spending billions to break the fabric of Islamic society and general society. Be pardagi, be hayai, be sharmi, they're introducing that. LGBT. I mean, for some time of Adam alayhi salam till now, we didn't know what we were doing. They come and tell us, you know, how we must be. We must allow these lesbians. Now, you know, go to the toilet now. Sorry to ask, you know what I mean? See, now you can, the only thing we can tell them is, ulama, you know what? You can put here male, female, and you can put confused. That's the only thing you can tell them. Otherwise, there's no answer for them. But basically, they are absolutely so they want to destroy the fabric of Islamic society. Then they got women's lib, equal rights. You get married, divorced, half and half. you know, this contract and that contract. Then they come out with various terminologies and everything. So even in the laws of inheritance, our Muslim women organizations are also fighting for that. Modernistic approach and forgetting the very true fundamentals of Islam. To undermine the beauty and the perfection of Islam, this is what they are totally doing. So you find that we get very, very worried, you know what I mean? That now there are so many different isms in the world. You know, we spoke atheism, communism, socialism, capitalism, Qadianism, Shiaism, you know, so many isms in the world, Judaism and everything. Then we get very, very worried about our ulama. And I say with concern that we must never ever curry favor with government. You know, in Uqsa, I was reading on the internet, on their website, when it came to the closure of the masjids, what they said. Uqsa feared, I don't want to be misquoted, so I'm exactly quoting as they got it on the website. Uqsa feared a misrepresentation of the Sharia, right? And therefore applied to be a friend of the court. Misrepresentation of the Sharia to open the masjid. Look at the akal. Because it felt obliged to represent the Sharia openly, honestly, consistently. To curry favor with their friends. They never put their deen right. Illustrating the maqasid Sharia, high terminology now, you know what I mean. And the expert advice is relied on. There were thousands of doctors in the world who were telling that this is a pandemic. They never relied on their advice. All the other fools, they followed their particular advice. Expert for the stance it has adopted. Now we told them, supermarket got so many people. Taxis carrying so many people. You know what I mean? They're in a courtroom where they're in the court also there's so many people sitting in the court. And yeah, you know what, four Muslims want to come into the masjid to come perform salat. Experts, shara'i, what maqasid sharia and everything there. To hoodwink the people and everything. That's why I plead with our ulama on all occasions. Our Jamiatul Ulama is celebrating 100 years, you know, of its existence. That, you know, I was going to make wudu and some Allah Ta'ala put something in my mind. At that particular time, I said, now you get Judaism, you know. Now you got Jusa. And I'm not saying mockingly. I fear that Jusa mustn't become a Jusaism. Another ism that promotes something new, some ideologies and everything. Contrary to the basics that I had pointed out in the Astakal Hadith, you know, Kitabullah. Wa Astakal Hadith, Hadith Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the deen. There's no compromise. We've got examples of everything in our deen. There were so many pandemics where millions of people passed away and their masjids were never ever closed. But what we find? And you know who else was there? As an amicus curiae, if you look on that whole script that they got there, a women's cultural group, majority Muslims. And you know what they say? If the court rules in favor, then the masjids must be open to us. Number one. Number two, we fear that if our men go and they come back, then they'll bring diseases and sicknesses from the masjid to us. There's so many people met somebody. You know what? If this was really contagious, everybody should have just died in the world. You know what I mean? But anyway, this was the reality that we face ourselves with, that we are finding. So this modernism creeps in. Quran Majid says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Don't be inclined towards people who make wrong and make zulam. Otherwise, you're going to taste the fire. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Oh, our ulama, understand this fact. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people of iman, la tattakhidul kafirina awliya. Do not take the kafir as your friend. Min dunillah, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aturiduna an taj'alu lillahi alaykum sultanan mubina. Do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a manifest proof against you of your faithlessness? Aturiduna an taj'alu lillahi alaykum sultanan mubina. What clear and explicit words. Quran says, don't be inclined towards them. So now if you're looking at this Abrahamic accord, then our ulama, they quote about the Christians of Najran. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam maybe welcomed some Christian groups. That was his akhlaq. But he never went to go and get involved in the akidahs and their beliefs and everything like that. So now our people are talking on these particular levels and is discussing these particular issues and particular things and everything. So now when this is a way to come through modernism, through new ideologies, to destroy the very, very fabric of our Islam. I spoke about all the isms and a thought came into my mind. رَبَّنَا لَا إِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. We got no knowledge except what Allah gives us. Absolutely weak. We learn from our akabir, you know. I say, you know, we on the internet you'll find maybe two clips of mine there on the YouTube. So it was not my intention willfully to go. I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not a TikToker or anything like that. Yeah, but somebody put it down. So our honorable ulama guide us. So, you know, we don't want followers and hits. We'd rather be followers, you know. فَاتَّبِعُونِي Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow our kabirin and that. So, you know what? We distance ourselves from that. And we'll bring it to the attention of those people who put it onto the internet to get rid of that. Because we must use jais means to promote the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give barakat in that. So, I just wanted to make that particular point clear as well, you know. Somebody may think, hey, this Maulana is sitting here, but he's a... So, I'm not a YouTuber. You won't find frequent posts, hundreds of videos or anything like that. There were these two videos that came on. Or at times, somebody may just picture you or something like that. They put you onto the net, you know. And the net and the web, it grabs you. And the net also, you know what I mean, catches a fish, like we come fish. And spiders in the web also, becoming a web, the world wide web. So what that is reality. I just want to end on this one talk that Islam is also in Islam. Allah Ta'ala put this in my heart and my mind, you know. Say, Islam, if you take away the law of Islam, you're left with ism. By the best ism, it can be an ism, you know. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَى You know, maybe some relationship, whatever it is. But Islam, in its very connotation, is beautiful display of words and letters. It says, the display of letters says, La. For any other ism, in the deen, in the Allah, in Islam. Islam is the perfect deen. Purity, beauty, that's what we will stick by. So we stick by the Quran and Majid, the Ahadith of Rasulullah, the noble Sahaba Kiram, the Ijma of the Ummah, our great and honorable Ulama Kiram, Ulama of Dioban and that. Inshallah, we will never be led astray. May Allah, by His infinite grace and mercy, give me the tawfiq and hidayah to make amal in all of us. Save us from all these fitan that are coming, like the beads that are falling off from a tasbih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us. When we look at our little children, his progeny say, what is left for them? So we have to make a lot of ta'aleem. And lest I forget, I made a big note, you know, one day on my note when I was coming down here to the masjid here. And I said that one of the effects of the ulama of Dioban is a glorious, the mighty Tabligh Jamaat, which holds itself so high without any great organizational structures and everything, all stemmed up from Darul Uloom Dioban. And one more thing comes to my mind now. I mean, doing injustice if I don't say it, and that is Afghanistan. Turkey got sold out, Saudi Arabia got sold out, but Afghanistan, the products of Darul Uloom Dioban, took on mighty empires like the American Empire and the British Empire, you know, and it took on the whole coalition of how many countries, maybe 50 countries plus, and sent them defeated. Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab, Damat Barakatuh Umar Aliya, always says, his Humpty Dumpty set in a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, that refers to the Muslim Empire. But now I was thinking, you know, about that statement of Hazrat, and I said, now, you know, we also learned three blind mice, see how they run. So you know how the three blind mice is the American Empire, the British Empire, and the other mice. Mice also is plural, their whole coalition you put them, so these are the three. See how they run, see how they run. Pristine, pure Islam, nothing but chimples on their feet like Maulana Abdul Qadir, Mufti Abdul Qadir says. Send them running away from Afghanistan, you know, with no modern weaponry and nothing like that here. But the will and the trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So three blind mice, see how they run. Inshallah, we must keep them running. Allah keep us steadfast on His deen. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.